You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we want it to maintain and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 6th of January, and it's a Tuesday. We've got, I'll be on tomorrow night when Amy will not. So, got a lot of stuff to share with you tonight. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. But real quick, our next classes, we have a Counter-Strike class coming up here in... it's here in the White Mountain area. I'm not sure where it's going to be. It may be in Sholo. It may be in Springerville. But anyway, it'll be here locally on the 24th of this month. And the 27th and 28th of February will get us a battlefield medic class here. And hopefully we'll throw something else in between now and then. We're trying to go a million different ways here. We're just trying to find time for everything. So that's what we got going. And then in June, we'll be up in Washington again with a handgun class. So that's a ways away yet. But I've even got a guy from here that wants to go up to Washington and take that class. And well, he's not from here, but he's from Phoenix. So we may have one guy flying up there to take the Personal Defense Handgun 3 class in Yakima, Washington. There was, before it slips my mind, which doesn't take a hell of a lot these days, Amy and I went to Panda Express today. That's one of our absolute favoritest places to eat. And I saw something. It disturbs me that what we saw. It's about awareness. Now, maybe y'all think, maybe I'm just too anal about this. Maybe you all might agree, maybe no. But I think in the times that we're living in right now, actually I think for any time, but especially right now, and I tell people over and over that right now people are as bad and as brutal as they've ever been, probably more so at any point in our history. We cannot afford to do what we did, what they did in Mayberry RFD. I mean, we just don't have the luxury of being that leisurely and that at ease all the time. I don't care where you live. I mean, surely there's some small towns in Wyoming and in northern Colorado and whatnot, you know, that's probably less likely. But, you know, things are happening everywhere. We've got several stories of some pretty exciting things happening today. Doc, I got your, I didn't mean to ignore you, I got your Skype today about the holster. We'll talk about that a little bit. Anyway, we walked into Panda Express, and we walked in right after a state cop and his wife, girlfriend, whatever it was, sister, I don't know who it was. But this guy, and please believe me when I say that I am very, very pro-cop. But I see a lot of, I'm pro the institution of law enforcement, I am very much for. It's just that some of these people, I don't know how they survive. Now, if I were a cop, it seems to me that the cops can't be in the same frame of mind as Andy Taylor was in the Andy Griffith Show either. And I believe, having not been there and seen it, but I believe that the two cops that got executed sitting in their car, ambushed sitting in their car in New York the other day, I pretty much believe that probably could have been avoided, maybe. At least one of them, maybe not both, if they would have had a higher sense of awareness. Now, like I said, I wasn't there. I don't know, and I'm not knocking them. It was a terrible tragedy, and it shouldn't have happened and all that, but nevertheless, I just feel that if they'd have been, if you're in that line of work, wouldn't you think that your life, your job, your job description, the very nature of what you do, wouldn't it seem to you that probably you would want to pay a little closer attention to what was going on, not only for your own safety, but watching for bad guys, watching for violations of this? And not that I agree with, you know, getting tickets for jaywalking and stuff like that. I'm not saying that. But it is their job. It is what they do. So regardless of what I think about the politics of the whole thing, don't you think that it would be wise for them to pay attention? So this cop walked in to the farthest corner and sat down with his back to the entire room. And the whole time, never looked around, never turned and looked once, got up, put his coat on, helped her put her coat on, walked out, and never looked back one time. You know, like I said, maybe I shouldn't worry about it so much, but I wouldn't do that. There's no mirrors in front of him, no glass, no way to see anything that's going on. And it just seems a little odd to me. Amy and I walked into a restaurant in, I'm not sure where it was. It was somewhere around Auburn, California. Where was that place? Was it in Auburn?
It was in Newcastle, or Penryn.
In what?
Penryn?
Yeah. What is Penryn?
That's a small little town between Auburn and Loomis.
Is it small or little?
Small.
Small little town?
Yeah.
Okay, little town called Penryn in California. And there was a state cop sitting in there. And when we walked into this place, it was a nice steakhouse, but it was early in the day and there wasn't too many people in there. Most of them were in the other side of the steakhouse where the bar was. Surprise, surprise. And we walked in there and the door squeaked when it opened, and it kind of gently slammed behind us. And this cop was sitting in the part of the room where we went in, the part of the building. It was big too. It was probably 30 feet wide and 80 feet long, probably 80 feet long. Quite a few booths and tables and stuff, but he was the only one in there. He was sitting at the first booth on the left-hand side as we walked in the door. Door squeaked, door slammed. He never turned around and looked. Whatever he was doing, filling out papers, looking at his computer or whatever. There wasn't any smartphones in or anything that I remember. And he never once looked up.
He's so cute.
So I don't think it's that big of a surprise that some of these, and it's not just cops. I'm not picking on them. I just think that it would seem more likely that they would be a little more attentive to what was going on. But we see that all the time. We had the one guy that walked into, what was it, a donut shop or something here a few years ago and shot five cops. Killed all of them, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, Firewall just joined us. Good to see you, buddy. So I think that I've seen these stories over and over again where there's more than one cop shot by one guy. And I find it difficult to believe that that would happen as often as it does if these people would be a little bit more attentive to what was going on. Iowa Cat, yeah, always sat facing the door. Amy and I always fight over who's going to watch the door. We try to set somewhere where we can both watch, or, you know, maybe there's two doors, but we usually set strategically in some manner where we can pay attention to everything that's going on. But anyway, I didn't want to make such a long deal out of that, but the more I think about it, the more that I think that these guys would probably not get shot quite as much if more of them would pay attention to what's going on. And they're just human. I'm not saying this because they're cops. I'm saying it because of their job that I think that they should be a little bit more, you know, pay attention a little more to what's going on. I'm sure as hell not picking on them because we all do it, you know, some more than others, of course. You know, we see people constantly, they're texting, they're talking, they're daydreaming, they're listening to music, they're on Facebook, walking down the street. You know, I'm not opposed to that if you can multitask. You know, if you can pay attention to what's going on and still do other stuff, that's okay. Some people can. But a whole hell of a bunch of them cannot. They get so absorbed in what they're doing that they have no clue, absolutely oblivious to anything that's going on around them. And that's not safe. It's not safe from a cop standpoint for the amount of people that for the amount of people that are you know, anti-law enforcement or just out for a, whether it's a initiation for a gang or whatever the case may be, or if it's just people that are just going about their daily routine, whatever it is, you need to pay attention. This, we're not any longer in the 50s and 60s. It's not the same anymore. And Doc, buddy, you have no idea. Well, I guess you do, or you wouldn't have said it. But yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. And that is the problem right there. Doc says that, having been former law enforcement and security and everything else, that there's too many cops that think they're a little better than us. They're special in some way. And they're not. They're public servants. They're no different than anybody else. But they, and that's what's causing that horrendous us against them attitude. Because of some of them having that attitude, and then, you know, the people get upset about it and get rebellious, and it creates an atmosphere that's not good for any of us. Anyway, Doc, I read your big long deal there about holsters, and I'm thinking that you may have missed the holster show that we did here. It's been several months ago, where we talked. Spent a whole 2-hour show on holsters, and I agree with 99.7% of everything that you put in there. You are exactly like I am about holsters. Exactly. That could have been written by me and nobody would have ever known the difference, except for one thing. And that is the angle that the holster is. I believe that the holster should be vertical with no angle whatsoever. It is not natural. I know you're going forward with it, but the actual pulling of out of the holster is not a completely natural movement. So I want them vertical, and I'm very wary of people that have angled holsters, you know, canted holsters in our classes. If they're canted very much, I will try to encourage them to either change the angle if it's a convertible holster or get them to wear something else. But other than that, every last thing that you put in there is stuff that I've talked about several times. And I agree in the shoulder holster deal. We talked about that. When was that? It was last night, wasn't it? Hang on a minute here. I've got breaking news. Okay, good enough. All right. There's, we have another little rant here. You know, when I watched that movie Taken, wow, what an awesome show. I loved that show. And then I watched Taken 2, liked that one also. And then shortly after that one came out, just before Taken 3, which I have not seen Taken 3 yet, and I will not, unless I find a used DVD at a bargain bin somewhere, or if I'm at somebody else's house and they've got one, because I will not be spending any money on Liam Neeson. I found out probably a year ago. No, it's been over. Been over a year ago. That's been, was it 2 years ago? When did Taken 2 come out?
Maybe 2 years ago.
I think we were still in Pine Top when it came out, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
But at any rate, whenever it came out, that's before or shortly after Taken 2, I found out that not only is Liam Neeson rabidly anti-gun, he's also pro-Islam. So I will not be spending any money on Liam Neeson. As good of an actor as he is and as great as those movies are, no. Won't be doing that. But he has a new rant just come out. I think this is, Yeah, this just came out a few days ago. He believes in what he calls total gun control in the United States, as his newest movie, Taken 3, is being aired around the country. He's been quoted with a lot of anti-gun remarks, even though his movies, and you know, this goes with Sylvester Stallone, and who else? Couple of big Western stars. I can't remember who they are. Anyway, they make all these, you know, millions and millions of dollars. I've said this, you know, a dozen times. On their movies, handling guns and killing people and all this stuff. And then they want to be anti-gun. Even though he's no different in all these movies. Here's a quote from Liam Neeson. Say, I am totally for gun control in the U.S. The population of America is roughly 300 million, and there are 300 million guns in this country, which is terrifying. Every day we're seeing some kid running rampant in a school. It's the right to keep and bear arms, which is the problem. I think if the Founding Fathers knew what was happening, they would be turning in their graves with embarrassment at how the law has been interpreted. I think you're a freaking idiot. That's what I think. I think you're a moron. I think you are the cause or the mindset of way too many people in this country. In the first place, every day you don't see some kid running rampant in a school. You know, this happens way too much, but it sure as hell is not every day. It's not even every week. It's not even every month. A couple of times a year. Granted, that doesn't make it any better. But 300 million people, 300 million guns, terrifying. And how much money did you make off of Taken One? How many people did you kill with your imaginary gun? The Founding Fathers knew just damn exactly what was happening here. They would not be turning over in their graves because we're not doing what we should be doing right now. They're turning over in their graves because we're letting everything that they fought for go to hell. That's what they're turning over in their graves, man. It's not about how the law is interpreted or nothing like that. They knew just exactly what was coming up, and that is why the Second Amendment is worded the way it is. Liam Neeson just became a citizen in the United States 5 years ago. And if he is not a fan of the Constitution and the Second Amendment, then I'm thinking he should pack up his stuff, put it in a truck, and leave. That would solve that. But be that as it may, I don't know about the rest of you guys. I know about some of you. But now, Rights at Risk, I see your post up there. You can't picture him being a Muslim. We talked about this back a good while back. But he became pro-Islam or Islam sympathizer as he was doing Taken 2. If you remember, Taken 2 was a lot of that was filmed in Istanbul. And he was there when they had their little prayer, whatever in the hell they call it, every day, twice a day, or however many times a day they do it. And he was impressed with their diligence and their all that stuff, and he said that was just pretty neat. He wanted to do that then. But he wanted to, as I remember, he kind of wanted to convert and go with Islam, but he didn't solely because he didn't know viewers and fans and stuff would think about it. So he wanted to, but he didn't because of his fans, is what I remember. So what I started to say a while ago is, I don't know if you guys are as adamant and about this as I am, but I don't care how good the food is, I don't care how good the music is. I don't care how good the movie is. I don't care how good looking she is. I don't care if they have this attitude. We're done. I won't. I'll buy used tapes and records and stuff of them because the money has already been spent. It doesn't go to them. It doesn't hurt anything. They'll never know. Of course, they'll never know whether I buy one or not, but I do. And I will not put my money where their mouth is. I'm not going to buy any of their tapes. I'm not going to watch their movies. I'm not going to buy certain products that they endorse. I just completely rid myself of everything about them. And there are no exceptions to that. If there was only one cell phone company left in the world, or one, I don't know, take something, if there was only one vehicle manufacturer left in the world and they were rabidly, horribly anti-gun, and I knew that half my money that I paid for that truck would go to the anti-gun organization, and there were no used trucks anywhere in the world to get, yes, I would probably buy one of their trucks. Because it's one of those things that, you know, you have to be able to get around, you have to be able to fight the fight. But I know that's a little extreme. But for anything else, any other type of products and stuff, there's almost always choices. And I'm just going to say this real quick because I've said it so many times before. But if you're, people say, well, you know, that they've got a sign up, but I just go concealed like you're rubbing their nose in it. That's stupid. You're still spending money there. I don't care if they know it or not. They're spending, you're taking your money in there and letting them have it so that they can spend their money, your money, fighting your, trying to get rid of your rights. Not rights at risk. We don't want to get rid of her, but getting rid of your constitutional rights, your Second Amendment rights, your First Amendment rights, your Fourth Amendment rights, Tenth Amendment rights. Well, maybe not Tenth Amendment when it comes to... But anyway, you get my point. So it doesn't accomplish anything to go in there concealed just because they don't know that you have it. The hamburger that you buy will help pay for your damn, I'm getting pissed now and I can't talk. Anyway. Let me change subjects here a little bit. Maybe I ought to just go to a break. Maybe that's what I ought to do. So, we've got a kind of a long break here. I've got a hell of a good cup of hot chocolate here I'm drinking, so I'll be back in about 7 minutes.
I'll be back.
Yeah, I already said that. Back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America. And I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors, indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we, the people, will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather, or a bullet fairly ripped. The Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. I don't post my app in there often enough. B2 asked about our getting an app for the podcast. We do have one, an Android mobile app. I post it in the chat room every once in a while. I just put it in there again a while ago. C7, we are entertaining notions of a possibility of going to Farmington this weekend. And if we do, and you're around, I may try to entice you into giving us a hand moving some stuff, and we'll take you out and buy you lunch. But anyway, we'll let you know when we get a little closer. Maybe we can get you and Tebow together. Anyway. All right, we have another one of those highly skilled, well-trained professionals here. The only ones that should have guns because they are highly trained and skilled and professional. This one professionally and skillfully shot himself in the stomach in an elevator. Okay, now let's pick this apart here and see just how many things he did wrong. Elevator, off-duty cop had gotten in the elevator with his wife. This was in Kentucky. His name was Daryl Jowett. I don't know how you say that. Looks like Jowett. J-O-U-E-T-T. Gotten in the elevator after having dinner with his wife, 8:30 at night. Once the doors closed, of course, the elevators have cameras in them. Boy, I bet he sure wished it didn't. Then he could at least blame it on his wife or something. But once the doors closed, he pulled his .40 caliber handgun out of its holster. And then, according to the video, it looks like he's trying to reholster it. But now here's the problem right here. Number one, I don't know why he unholstered it to start with. Maybe it was rubbing him or something and he didn't, whatever. But the problem is that he fumbled it, almost dropped it as it got tangled up in his coat and everything. And I hate it when they word it this way. The gun fires as he attempts to catch it. Well, yeah, theoretically that's right, but what actually happened was he tried to catch it and fired the gun. The gun didn't fire. They always word it like the gun did it all by itself. The gun didn't fire as he tried to catch it. He tried to catch it and pulled the trigger. That's what happened. He shot himself in the belly. And said the this, and I'm not sure how this happened. This is a the sign of an incredibly ignorant writer. A bullet ricocheted from the gun and struck him in the stomach. The wife pulls out her cell phone, calls 911 as her husband fell to the floor. He was able to stand up and get out of the elevator when the doors opened. Then another person, they was the only two in the elevator when it happened. And said he was conscious and alert, treated for non-life-threatening injuries. But this is why we tell people, especially when let's see, this is what happens when we get in certain areas of the third level class, third and fourth level class, is that when you're changing hand, why did he drop the gun? I'm going to say that he dropped the gun because too many people out there that haven't been strongly encouraged to handle the gun properly was that they get a hold of it and they hold it with you know, two or three fingers or in a non-firing grip. If that gun is in your hand, I don't care what you're doing with it other than maybe, you know, disassembling it or something. If that gun is in your hand, it should be in a firing grip. If you switch it to your support hand, it should be in a firing grip. If you do, something happens, you're transferring it over to your support hand or whatever, and you go to drop it, let it go. Just let it fall. The chances of it firing with modern firearms are extremely remote. And the chances of it hitting you are more remote yet. But if you go to catch that gun and you happen to get a finger in the trigger, and it happens, this is not an isolated incident. It happens fairly regularly from people trying to catch the gun. Don't try to catch it. Let it fall. It would have to, even older guns that do go off, the only one that would be a big issue, a lot of them, would be a single action revolver or a double action revolver that is cocked, or a single action that is cocked. Yeah, if it lands a certain way, the chances of it going off are very, very good. But if it's cocked, it should be in a firing grip and pointed in the direction that you're going to shoot. If you're transferring it to the other hand, generally speaking, it's probably not going to be cocked. But if you drop it and it's cocked, chances are pretty good that it's going to go off. But your semi-automatics, even some of the older ones, maybe some of the early 1911s, the early, you know, before they solved that in, when was it? I don't remember, 70, 74 or something like that, 75, I don't remember. Some of the early 1911s did have a problem with that. There's several guns now, they have drop safeties and stuff. But even if it was one of the earlier ones that may go off if you drop it, it has to hit at a certain angle. It has to be going a certain speed. It has to be cocked. It has to be, you know, that's right, firewall. That's the problem, is he didn't come to Southwest Shooting Authority first. That could have solved that. Most of them would need to land. Now, if the safety was off and the gun was cocked and somebody had been messing with the trigger and it was, you know, excessively light, yeah, there's a pretty good chance that it may go off. But anyway, yeah, Glocks, it is so, I would say, and I feel pretty confident in saying this, that it is mechanically impossible for a Glock to go off. There's actually two drop safeties in a Glock. They're specifically drop safeties. One of them is the trigger safety that's in the trigger. The other one is a little cruciform that sets in the back of the trigger housing there. So I would say that it would have to be pretty close to impossible. His Aviator, I saw you ask a while ago about the Counter-Strike class. Let me tell you real quick about Counter-Strike. It's an awesome class for people that are waking up and deciding that they want to have a little confidence and learn how to protect themselves a little bit. It is not a karate class. You're not going to walk away with a black belt after 8 hours. But we spend a lot of time on the use and recognizing expedient weapons. We go through some very easy to remember but extremely effective ways to break holds and respond to them. There's some very, very painful, very effective strikes that we can do that are easy to remember, easy for anybody to do. And that's the key here. You know, a lot of your less confident people, whether man or woman, doesn't matter, even kids, or people that are way overweight, people that are too old, think they can't do that stuff anymore. That's what Counter-Strike was designed for. I put this class together in 2008, and it works really, really well for people that, you know, if you're already a skilled martial artist, you have no reason to take this class. If you're an accomplished boxer or wrestler or something, you probably have no reason to take this class unless it's just curiosity. But for people that are not fighters, you know, there are a hell of a bunch of people out there that are gentle and kind and have never had a reason to look into that before, and they're starting to think now, maybe I ought to have some idea of how to take care. Walking across a dark parking lot after work, stuck out on the side of the highway with a flat tire, real estate agents. As a matter of fact, there was real estate agents asked me to do a class, and that is partially why we came up with the Counter-Strike class. Jason helped me with this. We spent quite a bit of time on it. And Firewall, I threw that class together on that website, you know, really quick, and it's pretty, it needs a lot of work, but I threw it together there real quick because people kept asking me about it, and it is going to become a regular part of our offerings now. And I've still got quite a bit of stuff to do on the website, but it's a class that, we want to teach the young lady, the young secretary, single mom sitting at her desk at the bank as a receptionist, and something happens right there. She becomes in immediate danger. What does she do? She can't carry a gun to work. What does she use? You know, there's literally a dozen weapons that are useful on the sitting on your desk. As I said yesterday, a bottle of water. Now, a full bottle of water is best. Half empty ones better than nothing, but not nearly as effective. Stapler, letter opener, the chair, the telephone, purse, briefcase. You know, one of the drawers. I mean, just, you know, anything that's sitting there. Hairspray, hairbrush, especially hairbrushes like Amy's. If you look on Cold Steel's website.
Something else we need to
carry. Yeah, absolutely. We need to get a bunch of those. Mm-hmm. If you look on Cold Steel's website, there's a brush on there called a honeycomb. The honeycomb is a plastic brush. It looks like, for all the world, like a hairbrush. I wish they would make them in different colors besides black. But you grab the hairbrush part of it in one end and the handle in the other and pull them apart from each other. And you have a hell of a pig sticker that was stuck in that brush. It is fiberglass reinforced nylon. And it has blood grooves on four sides. It's in kind of a cross shape. It's extremely rugged and sharp as a needle. Like I said, it's fiberglass reinforced nylon. A lot of people call it plastic. It is not plastic. It is very, very tough, very rugged fiberglass reinforced nylon. You're not going to break it. You're not going to hurt it unless you take the point and drive it into concrete. But there's about 4 inches or so there of a big ugly sticker that you can damn sure get somebody's attention with. So, you know, that's just a few things that yeah, firewall, I would suspect that that would suck getting hit in the head with a stapler, but but anyway, that's a that's what Counter-Strike is all about. We spend some time, there's a good bit of classroom time in the beginning trying to help develop that mindset and be a, you know, to try to bring the sheepdog out in some of these people and get into, you know, the color code, mental awareness stuff and all that. So it's a good class. It's a lot of fun. It's not horribly physically demanding, but it is... let's see. That was... Why am I not seeing that? What time was that?
9:42.
Let's see. How come I don't see that? No. Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, at C7 we could do that, but I don't have my FFL yet, and legally I can't do it unless you're here. I can't keep it after you leave. I can't keep it overnight. So you would have to be here and stay for a few hours, and we could probably take care of that for you. But you can't send it to me until I get a get the FFL back and everything.
Yakima says that they stop making
it. Wow. Well, that's no good. Mm-mm. That was great. That was, I wonder why that happened. Let me see what's going on here. I don't know if that's, what it says on there. I know some people that have a tremendous amount of those. Let's see. Yeah, according to... Let me look here and see. That would be too bad. That was a... Of course, they may...
I don't know what they're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about.
Do what?
They don't know what you're talking about, I don't think.
What do you mean they don't know what I'm talking about?
You didn't say what you're looking at. But they're not making those anymore.
Yeah, I... Let's see here. Let me look and see. I don't know what's happened with that. But anyway, I know somebody that has a whole bunch of them. And hopefully we can get a hold of them. If they have quit making them, then I'd like to see if we can get a bunch of them before they all disappear. Let me try one thing here and see what happens. Well, shoot. Well, that's going to be too bad. If they quit making that, that's going to be very unfortunate. But hopefully I can still find a few of them. And anyway, where are we at? Okay, let's see. There was something we talked about. One of the listeners had emailed me or something. I think it was a Facebook private message. About what I thought about this ruling from the ATF on the 80% lowers and stuff. What I get out of this, like I said, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer about all this, but what I can get out of this is it's still, they can still make 80% lowers and you can still buy them. But you have to have the skill and the equipment and everything to turn that into a functional receiver yourself. You cannot take it down to a machine shop and tell them this is what I want done. Now there's a lot of stuff you can't, I don't know how that, how that applies to the 3D printed guns, because it is still legal for you to make guns for yourself as long as you keep them and don't they're not for sale. So Yakima Glock said he found a few of those. Cold Steel doesn't list them anymore. if you can find them, guys, you know, jump on a couple of them. Even if you're not intent on using one right now, wouldn't hurt anything. They're great stocking stuffers. Put them back. They only cost like $10, so put some of them back and hold on to them. I get sidetracked here trying to read all the stuff on the chat while I'm doing all this. So, well, we're just about at the end of our time here. Let me see if there's anything. Oh, there was two other things that have happened here. Very important. There was a shooter at a VA clinic in El Paso today at the Beaumont Medical Clinic, not Beaumont, Texas. William Beaumont Army Medical Center is in El Paso. Actually, Beaumont, Texas was named after William Beaumont. But it was in El Paso. And there was a doctor shot. I'm not sure what his status is right now. And the shooter was killed, I believe. No, the shooter killed himself. Okay. Anyway. And then we find out later tonight, thanks to one of our diligent listeners that sent this to me, there was a bomb went off outside of a NAACP office in, I believe it was, Colorado Springs. Now, fortunately, it was a improvised device that went off next to a 5-gallon can of gas. The 5-gallon can of gas, well, I call it 5-gallon, it was a can of gas, did not detonate, did not catch on fire or whatever. So that's probably a good thing. I don't know how much worse it would have been if this can of gas would have went off. I can imagine probably many times worse. There was no injuries, scared a lot of people. But the point is here, the news is not that one happened. The news is that it did happen. And we have several things that, you know, I've told you that when I first started this show, it was a little harder to shop around. It was a little bit tougher. I had to do quite a bit more research to be able to find and make a decent show for, you know, 2 hours once a week. And then it got to be a little easier because there was more stuff going on. And then it got to be, then I had to start picking through it because there was too much stuff going on. And now it's happening literally as I'm doing the damn show. And I can't keep up with it. So, you know, we've had these things happen 2 and 3 and 4 times a day now, and we are about to see the plug being pulled. We're about to see the balloon pop. The balloon's already going up, but I think we're going to see it pop here pretty quick. Anyway, lots of stuff. Forks joined us. Little late, but better late than never. We're glad to see you come in, even if it's just for a little while. Well, I think that's going to do it for me. And glad y'all could join me tonight. And tomorrow, Wednesday, Amy will not be on, but I will. Hopefully I'll be on for the rest of the week, unless something happens. All right, I'm babbling. I got to go. Talk to you later.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.